First, I'd like to thank Luzi and Avrumi for inviting me, for just creating this whole matzah. It's unbelievable to see how everybody sits together and eats, and there's achdus, and the food looks pretty good, actually, right? I'm usually not the type of guy that gets up and starts speaking and talking about what we do and, you know, mussar. And I work with kids on the streets. I work with adults also who are challenged, at risk. And basically, I just try to help out, challenge realities in our community. It started actually many years ago. I was in the jewelry business, and Reb Gamliel Rabinovich was speaking to me one, I think it was Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and I was telling him, I think he speaks here, correct? Right. So I told him, I'm in the jewelry business, and it's not doing too well. I wasn't making parnasa, and my wife was with me, and I said, I can't go on this way. I was losing money every single week, every single month. I was in trouble. So he said to me, you're in the wrong jewelry business. So I said to him, what does that mean exactly? He said, you should go into diamonds and precious gems. So I said, diamonds and precious gems? That's also very rough, challenging. I have friends that are going bankrupt. He says, you don't understand. I mean Yiddish and Neshamas. I said, Yiddish and Neshamas. He says, yes, that is your tikkun. So I said, okay. And it was quite hard to digest. But then I realized that since I'm a kid, I used to go around and talk about different things. Yiddishkeit, I went to a modern school. I went to Yeshiva Flatbush. Anybody know about it? And it always bothered me, in the yeshiva itself, the way the system was, just things didn't make any sense. And then as I got older, when I put on my tefillin, I started having tefillin, an extra pair, and I used to put people on tefillin. People used to think I'm a Lubavitcher. But that's not what it was. I just felt that the only way to protect yourself against the elements of this world is to become proactive. In the martial arts, which I was in for many years, I learned the best defense is offense. So if you want to protect yourself, you got to go after what you believe in. So anyway, that's a little bit of a background of my beginning in this challenging way of life. I'm going to start off with a very scary Tana Develio, which is actually not too appropriate for the situation that we're in here. The Tana Develio writes as follows. A person that sees, I don't know the exact lashon, a person that sees himself disconnected from Torah and the Eibishta, Yivakesh Rachamim Al Achila Ushasiya Yisera. He should ask HaKadosh Baruch for rachamim that he shouldn't overeat and overdrink. Now, when we say overdrink, we don't mean Glenlivet 27. We mean basic drinking, basic eating, not overeating. What's going on here? What does this have to do with Hashem, with Torah? It's no coincidence that the Friedrich Toldos Aharon Rebbe has a sefer called Shulchan HaTohar, which has 350 pages on achila. Now, in the physical world, the sports world especially, which some of us are quite familiar in, there's an expression, you are what you eat. In fact, the goyim, who are competing all the time, especially in the Olympic world, are literally weighing their food, they're weighing their peas, they're balancing their proteins, their carbs, etc., etc., correct? They're taking care of their physical body. Now, we know that our physical body is far more complicated than winning an Olympic medal. So what's the pshat? And I was thinking even more. We're living in this generation. I don't think in the history of Klal Yisrael there has ever been so many restaurants on earth. In fact, I was with my wife the other day, and again, I promise my wife I'm not going to become negative in anything I'm saying here. Chas v'shav, a million, I ask mechila, mechila, mechila from Hashem. I'm not being mekatrig on us. I just want to bring out certain things that hopefully we'll get some type of clarity on what our purpose is. So we went to this restaurant in Borough Park. It's called, give me some names, guys. Milchik's, brand new, really fancy, yuppie-ish.
The loft.
No, it's dairy.
The 12th Avenue?
No, on 48th, or 53rd, or 13th.
53rd,
and 13th.
Or Donna, or Urbana.
Not Orkadia.
No,
Urbana. Urbana. I walk with my wife to Urbana. My mother just came from Israel. We're sitting in Urbana, and I asked a funny question. I asked my wife, is this place kosher? She says, what do you mean? I said, I don't see one Jew here. And I'm not exaggerating. There were three couples sitting, no yarmulkes. Then I looked at the menu, and I was trying to figure out what's going on here. And suddenly I saw microscopic letters, Rabbi Eckstein in Hebrew, on the right-hand corner. Now, the question is that being negative? That's the question, is that being negative? The Torah says, if a person wants Kedusha, what does he have to do? Kaddish es atzmecha, mash mutter lecha. Whatever's mutter. We're not talking about Yetzirah, we're talking about things that are positive. You're allowed to eat, you're allowed to have, you're allowed to do. What's going on here? Anybody? Any input? I went to a restaurant in the city the other day with a friend, a business lunch. That's what it's called, a business lunch. We walk into this place. I thought I was going into a club. They took me through like a tunnel of bottles of wine and liquor. And they finally sit me down there. And I'm telling you, it was like, I didn't know what world I was in. I came out of there and I said to myself, this is very challenging. Very, very challenging. Because achila is actually meant to protect the body, to protect the soul. It's not about feeling good and getting a geschmack out of the food and really, you know, having a craving for the next meal. But we'll put this to the side for a minute. So I asked Reb Gamliel, what do we do with the dough? What do you do with the kids, especially with the kids? He said, the kids, the adults, he always says the kids. He always says the concept of a kid for a 90-year-old mother could be a 70-year-old kid too. Everybody's a kid. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're all kids, no matter what age we are. So I said, Rebbe, what do we do? How are we misakin? How do we deal with the challenging times? He says, push it. Guide to the mikveh. Go to the mikveh. I said, go to the mikveh? He says, yeah, go to the mikveh. How many times? He says, one time. And blib dorten. He said, stay in the mikveh. Never come out. I went to the Reb Mutter Levishnitzer. I'm sure you've heard of him from Muncie. Big tzaddik. I asked him, how do we protect the kids? What do we do? He said, he gives haftacha. It's brought down in the Kadmoinim. If you wash negavasa by the bed with a tepel and you don't take your feet off the bed every morning, guarantee you won't leave the world without tshuva. So I said, how are you supposed to do that? He says, every kid in your house, you set up a basin with a wash cup, make sure it's covered, and let them wash their hands in the morning. I met a big Rosh Yeshiva from Flatbush. I always have some fun with him. We go into this Litvish Hasidish dialogue all the time. He says, Ronnie, cut the Hasidish nonsense. When he says that, he means it in a positive way. He doesn't. He says, sit down, learn a black Gemara. So I said, how's that Matar you? He says, what do you mean? The Torah is Matar. It's Mikveh Yisrael. I said, what if it's Shaloi Lishma? Is it Matar? He said, that's a good kasha already. So the question is, where are we really? How do you come to the point where you're running after Kedusha all day? Unfortunately, I deal with boys that really hit rock bottom. They've done everything. And I'm not going to get into too many pratim here because, you know, the audience is quite mixed. But I could tell you a very scary story that happened. There was a father about a year ago that calls me up. He says to me, Ronnie, you got to help me. My daughter was thrown out of seminary. I said, okay. For what? He said she was caught talking to a boy in the street on the Midrachov. I said, so what? He said, what do you mean, so what? I said, she was talking to a boy. She said, she was talking to a boy. What's the problem exactly? He said, they never gave her another chance and they threw her out. He said, could you do me a favor? Could you try to contact the menial of the seminary? I said, yes, I will contact the menial of the seminary. Actually, I spoke to Reb Gamliel beforehand. Reb Gamliel told me some frightening things, but I won't repeat that. But I asked the menial of this seminary one question. You threw out this girl a few weeks before the end of seminary. Do you know what you just did to her? You destroyed her chances of getting married most probably to a normal guy, and also her chances of feeling like a normal person again. Right away, he wanted to know, and who are you? That was his question, and who are you? I said, I'm Ronnie Cohen, I deal with kids, and this, okay, fine. I said to him, I want to just ask you one question, and then I'll leave you alone. He says, go ahead, what's your question? I said, I want to know, if you were Shomer Anayim this week properly. That's all I want to know from you. You know what he did? He hung up the phone on me. That's what he did. I called him back. He says, Ronnie Cohen, you're out of control. It's irrelevant and don't talk to me stupid things. Fast forward. I went to the father. I told him what happened. The father got on a plane. He went to Rav Steinemann. Guess what Rav Steinemann said? Rav Steinemann said, if they don't take this girl back, he's throwing out this guy from the seminary. Fast forward, this guy's seminary fell apart. He doesn't have a seminary anymore. It's a very, very frightening story because there's so many different versions of this story in different families around this community, around all communities. Kids, unfortunately, are being slaughtered everywhere. They're not being looked at with Ayin Toiva. The Sinas Chinam is frightening. I'll tell you another story. It was by Rav Moshe Wolfson. You heard of Moshe Wolfson? From Emunas Yisrael. I was called in on a boy that was totally out of control. Erev Yom Kippur, he gets on a plane, he flies to Hawaii. There's some type of crazy acid party there, out on some island. Crazy story. Totally crazy. He calls me in, Rav Wolfson. He says to me, Ronnie, I need your help. I said, what do you want me to do? He says, you might have to fly in Yom Kippur to Hawaii. I said, okay, I'm game. I'll fly to Yom Kippur. But I said, I have one idea before we do this. I said, Rebbe, you heard of Lubavitch? He says, of course. I said, what if I get the shliach to chop this guy? The kid, so we chop the guy, and the shliach took him into his house. It's the craziest thing. He made a minion out of fried, whatever. So then I asked Rav Wolfson, what is the pshat taka? What's going on here? Why there's so many disasters going on in our community? So he says to me, Ronnie, you're the expert. You tell me. So I said, it's simple. It's called sinas chinam. He says, could you explain that to me? I said, sure. I said, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the Shloisha Chamuris, right? The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam. What is sinas chinam? Sinas chinam is even looking at a person the wrong way. That's sinas chinam. Sinas chinam is where, unfortunately, there's two kreisen. I don't want to say Hasidish or Litvish. Two kreisen together that are fighting, but the father's very frum, puts on his rekel, whether it's a gartel, his hat, he benches by benching with his hat, with his jacket, everything, mamish frum. And his son is looking at him, and his son knows that he can't stand the other side. He won't talk to them, he won't mingle with them, he doesn't even speak to his own relatives already. And you expect that kid to grow up normally and to be an Erlich Hayit? He has no chance. You slaughtered your child. And I'm talking to most of us here, including myself, we have young children. The reality is, when you hate someone, you're basically saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have no emuna at all. Why? Because simply sinas chinam, if you look at it directly, it actually is not sinas chinam, because he slighted you, there's a reason, he did something, he took something away from you, he looked at you the wrong way, something happened, he tickles you the wrong way, you just can't stand the way he looks, unfortunately, to that degree. People can't stand other people just for the way they look. So you're declaring to Hashem that he's not involved in this. It's him against you. It's not basheret, there's no concept of hashgacha prat, there's nothing. In a chanami, the guy could act not right to you and do something bad to you. But that's all destined. That doesn't mean you have to hate him. So the minute you declare to HaKadosh Baruch, you have nothing to do with him. So how's he supposed to do for you? How are we supposed to build a Beis HaMikdash? Someone told me, he davened so hard for Shaduchim and he never gets answered. Never gets answered. So I asked him, how old's your daughter? He says 27. I say, you thank Hashem every day that she's 27, she's not married? He says, are you crazy? We're suffering, we're dying. There it is. You have no emunah. There, every single day that child's not married is Hashgacha Pratis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that deserves 100% thank you. If you don't thank him, guess what you're doing? You're going into Shemoneh Esrei, and you're basically asking someone to do a deal with you that you don't trust them. Would you give someone a loan if you knew the guy doesn't trust you? So you're davening without emunah. This is a very deep concept. You guys understand this? You're davening without emunah. If you don't believe 1,000% the situation you're in right now is destined for Hashem, then all your tefillahs, I didn't say they're going away, they get put somewhere in Geniza. But nothing's happening. There's no shaking up. So the question is, what do we do? I think in the Torah, there's about 227 times that the Torah talks about Kedushim. Ki Kadosh, about Kedusha, Kedushim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh, 227 times throughout the Torah. Kedusha, Kedusha, Kedusha. How does Kedusha come? So we know Shoiftim B'Shoitrim, what does it say? Titnu B'Sharecha, right? B'Sharecha means your openings, Chasidish. Your most important opening are your eyes. And today we live in a world the opposite of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu saw Elikus through the Teva, correct? He was outside, he saw everything. He saw the Eibishter. Today by us, there's not a kid that walks the street that's not tainted. I don't even want to talk, but we know ourselves what's going on. How do we deal with it? What's the, you know, the flat jacket? Like, what is it? So in the Chanami, Limud Torah is number one. You have to sit and learn. But what's the story when you're in the street? How do you deal with it? How do you protect your eyes? So I was with Rebbe Yehuda many years ago with Rav Gorelick in his car. And I was telling him that yeshiva's in the street. That's what I told him, yeshiva's in the street. He says, what do you mean by that? I said, exactly what I mean. I said, that's the testing ground, really, what you did in yeshiva. So I said to him, I have a friend that when he goes to the city, okay, everyone knows Manhattan, and he doesn't take the FDR, he takes the West Side Highway. And unfortunately, sometimes you see bad signs there that aren't appropriate. Do you know what this guy does? He picks up the phone to me, and he tells me, Ronnie, I'm passing that sign. I want to be with you on the phone because I don't trust myself. So Rebellia said, so good, so good. I said, that is Avodas Hashem. The Yetzer Hara loves secrecy. The way to be misakin it is to expose it, to be open and to fight it. There should be chaburis. According to Ramchal, he writes in his Sfarim that stay together and talk to each other about their averis. Because we're living in such a crazy outward world, such a crazy outward world, that every single person here knows his nisyonos. Every single person here knows where he's at.
It's called Facebook today. Everyone's posting.
It's called Facebook, right? It's funny that you just said that, because I was thinking after by Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, I think people mostly observed the clips. There were a lot of clips going around. And I was trying to understand where this word clip comes from, and now I chopped it. You know where the word clip comes from? Klipa. Klipa. It's all external. I want to know if Moshe Feinstein Zatzal needed to see clips on the Chorban HaBayis, on this Rebbe, on this one, on this story, and crazy lie. He internalized the Chorban. He knew the Chorban on his own. Today, we're so tainted by visual. Our eyes are so pugum that we can't even attempt. We can't even attempt to understand or to feel what it means, the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. I spoke before the fast, our organization is called Ronnie's Rebels, that's the inside name. I spoke to the rebels, I told them, guys, it's Erev Tisha B'Av, you know you have to be Misakin? Go over to one guy or call one guy that you can't stand. He said, I'll have to be on the phone all day, one guy told me. He says, I just can't deal with it. I said, one guy, and between me and you, it's not too late, because the bottom line is, you know, yesterday we fasted, we did that. Tachlis, where are we at now? Like, what is it all about? And I'll let you in on a secret. You know why people have a trouble with Sinas Chinam? Because they're not B'Kedusha. Because when you're B'Kedusha, you're being held on by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you know everything's from Hashem, so nothing matters. There's no such thing he could do bad to me. There's no such concept. I'm too connected to God. I don't even see his bad. So the reason the Sinas Chinam is because the Kedusha is weak. I asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky many years ago, he said, Avadi should go to the mikveh. It's like not even a shaila. It's not even a shaila. People today, they're afraid to say it because you might be becoming chassidish a little. But it's a major thing. People don't chap. A tefillah? I saw a guy the other day in the mikveh. He tells me, you know, it's unbelievable, the feeling. I said, what are you feeling? He said, it's geschmack. I said, you're mechavim to the Toldos Aharon. Because people ask the Toldos Aharon, always, what's the kavanah of the mikveh? He said, geschmack. You don't have to think about anything else. But you know what the mikveh is? The mikveh is you're declaring every single morning under that water for that 3 seconds that you're nobody. Because you can't breathe under the water. You got no clothing. Your money's worthless. There's nothing going on. That's a declaration of nothingness. and nothing misses everything. And what do we say? If you want to have everything, you gotta be willing to let go of everything. So the mikveh is not one of these mythical things. It's a very real thing. And a lot of the guys who have tsaris and are struggling with this, okay, we see my phone, people, you have a smartphone? I say, yeah, I have a smartphone. My smartphone is from Tech, and I don't have a, what is it called? I don't have a server on my phone. I have no access to the internet. I have no access to anything. I can't look up anything. I have 4 sites that are permitted because I have to be on a tzola, medical, whatever. That's it. Otherwise not. Otherwise you can't. It doesn't work. Social media is crazy. And this is not about being fafrumt or being you're not in today's times, because I talked to Goyim about this. All did you see the clip with the black guy? Anybody saw the clip? This clip I permit you to see.
I guess you're on it. What are we?
I had a black guy. You saw it? I was in shul in Sas Reagan, and there was a black man there who was making a coffee. And yeah, in Sas Reagan. You know Sas Reagan, 24th L&M?
That guy was in the shul?
Yeah, he was taking care of an elderly man, and his name is Samson. The guy's name is Samson. He's from Nigeria. So I asked Samson, you look like a humble guy. He says, I am. He was embarrassed. A real humble guy. A humble guy. I said, Samson, what's the biggest test on earth? Oh, that's easy. He says, the woman. I said, what? He says, the woman. He said, God put us on this earth to conquer our evil inclination. I said, you got to be kidding me. People thought it was rehearsed. I said, do you mind getting on a video? He says, sure. And he says, when your eyes are pure and you get off of social media, then you're connected to God. So then, you know, I got all the comments, the guy, this, that, whatever. I mean, the guy, if you want to look up, there's a story in the Yesod Shoresh Avoda with a Galanti in Syria that was able to heal people. And one of the tzaddikim from Syria in that dar couldn't understand how he had a koyach. And he went to this Galanti, it's a mamash story in the Yesod Shoresh Avoda, and he asked him, what do you do? And the Galanti told him, I purify my eyes every day, I go into water of a lake. And then he had a Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sani Yudke Vavke. It's a known story. It's a scary story. And that's where we see that even Goyim and Shfachos could have a Ruach HaKodesh and see things. This is the DNA of being a human being on this earth. I don't keep you much longer. I'll just finish up. A Bacher at 15 went off the Derech. 15 years old. At 22 he came back. I asked him, what were you thinking? So he tells me, I always knew I'm coming back. I said, what does that mean? He said, I just couldn't control myself. But I always knew I'm coming back. So I said, what is it that you knew that you're coming back? He says, my father's a tzaddik and my mother's a tzaddikus. And I just couldn't do it to them. Amazing. And then I was thinking to myself, you know what that means? The story with Yosef HaTzadik, Eishes Potiphera, right? She tried to do the worst thing possible. There's nothing worse than that. Biggs Nisoyan, correct? What does it say? He saw Dikunoi Shel Aviv. He saw Yaakov. What does that mean, he saw Yaakov? He saw a picture of his father. So what does the picture do? What does the picture do?
It gives him more immediacy what not to do.
It reminds him of his connection to him. When a boy tells me 5 years ago I put on tefillin and I'm just done, I say to him, you never got it. Because when you put on the tefillin one time, you are done. Now you're done. You're connected. You're never, ever disconnected. And that's one of the biggest problems today, the yush. People have yush. They don't believe. The Noam Elimelech writes that the biggest avera is remembering the avera. You have to let it go. You have to let it go. Hashem is not looking for winners. He's looking for fighters. You fall, you get up again. Right? Shevi Pulsar, right? You get up. Fall, get up. And judging another Yid, we have a saying in our clubhouse, never judge a brother just because he sins differently than you do. Okay, there's no such thing. Everybody sins. Everybody falls. And today, if the Anhala, which actually is changing, I'm not into the bashing of the Anhala, Rabbeim, I'm not into that because everyone really tries. But it's about love. I have a Rebbe that he used to, when he saw a bacha was falling, he used to put his arm around him and start saying tillim with him. He showed him so much love, the boy couldn't get out of it. And you know how you know if a Rebbe's good? You know how you know if a principal's good? I'm going to give you a good way to test. You see your Rebbe 20 years later, across the street far. Do you run across the street to give him a hug and to give him shalom? Or you don't even bother? That's how you know if you're connected to your Rebbe. And really, that's how it should be. A Rebbe has to have an effect on your life. He has to change your being. He has to bring you back to the Shoresh HaNeshama that you were born with. I could only finish up. We should be zoicha to be conscientious of how we walk the streets, what we see, what we hear, and even if we fall, you get right back up, and then we'll be zoicha. V'ro'u kol amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yoro mimecha. I appreciate that you listened. Thank you, and we should all be mechuzik now. I mean, we should be stark now after Tisha B'Av. Usually, you know, it's a cleansing. You know, people think, you know, you speak to a guy, I'm fasting. Oh yeah, it's great. It's great. It's a great cleanser. It's a great cleanser. But it really, actually, we get set back on track after you fast, after you feel the korban, and we shouldn't let it go. We should, you know, like it says, Isru Chag Ba'Voisim. We should see Bindin the. The whole concept of it. And it's not chalila a depressing thing, the concept of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. On the contrary, it's a happy thing, it's a powerful thing. Hashem has so much rachmanis, Hashem has so much love and so much care, and every Yiddish kind is so important. And again, we're going back, how many kids unfortunately left the world in the last year? I don't even want to say that word, the S-U-I word. I don't want to say it. But how many kids left? And unfortunately, there was a girl that left, and there was a lot going around now, Tisha B'Av, with letters, fathers, and this and that. And I want you guys to know one thing. There was a Rebbetzin that accepted her unconditionally. Okay? A very famous Rebbetzin in Borough Park. And she was most probably one of her biggest lifelines. And I spoke to this Rebbetzin. She is so destroyed because she said she just couldn't get her out of the funk. She couldn't get her out of it. But this Rebbetzin accepted her. You know a tzaddik or a tzaddik is if they treat the choshivs, the kid in the class, the same way as they treat the shvacha kid or the kids that's not learning or he's not behaving himself. I mean, you got to hear stories, guys. I mean, girls, they grow their hair long and they get thrown out of school. They can't be accepted. I just heard a buck was just thrown out because he had a radio on his iPad on his, I don't even know what. Thrown out in the streets. He said in 3 months he was gone. Gone.
But there's your answer. Until you don't get rid of the principals who are murderers, what's your wasting your time talking to you? I mean, I told you
I didn't have to talk here.
I've gone through it. Every one of these principals destroys the kid. Every kid that's out there was destroyed. By a Rebbe or destroyed. A principal. Period. Not the parents, the parents, the family, the smartphone. It's all baloney. Okay? I've known good, perfect kids. All it takes is one word.
Right.
And you destroy the kids. So we're wasting our time here because these guys are running private businesses. Okay? And when you call them up, they tell you to mind your own business. I have one of the mates in Daylight Terror tell me that he called up with these principals. They told him, mind your own business. It's a private enterprise. So why don't you say something? He's afraid.
I can't disagree with him, that's for sure.
May I?
Yeah, sure.
One word can destroy him. Don't you think he's weak?
Yes.
One word. Just one word.
Correct.
Seriously.
He's a weak kid, exactly. So therefore you should be more careful.
And are involved in strengthening the kid?
Yeah, but
the parents are also
correct.
Right here.
But if the kid's in the class, right, and the teacher calls him all kinds of names.
No, one word, one name.
What?
I'm giving you one name.
One name. So you tell the kid is you're stupid.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Right. You're an idiot.
The kid's not going to try nothing else anymore. He'll come up crying.
You'll never be like your brother.
He'll never be like your brother. My teacher tells me I'm stupid. Exactly. I'm stupid. So why should I even bother with studying? My teacher calls me stupid the whole day.
No.
Listen, when you live through it, which I've seen personally with kids, okay? So when you live through it and you realize what one word could do or what these principles do, okay, then you will change your mind. If I didn't live through it personally, I'd never believe it.
If you move your nose, you're over Lashon Hara.
If I didn't see it with my own eyes,
right? Chavetz Chaim, right? A nose move.
I'm not denying it's awesome.
Listen, I agree with you.
More than just one word.
I agree with you. If I didn't see it personally or live through it personally, I wouldn't believe it either.
But how can
it's hard to believe how kind of murder these people off.
You have to have some type of...
I didn't say that.
You can't just cater to everything.
I agree, but I want you to know, with real love, you could conquer. Most of these Manalim don't have that mush, that love to the kid. They don't have it. They don't have it. I don't want to mention names, but there are Rebbeim. What?
Don't your parents have that love?
No, the kids are spending most of the day in school. The kids are in school most of the day. Not the issue. It's a different environment. It's slaughtering them in a different time. It doesn't help already what the parents say. What's the parents supposed to say? You're just an idiot. What are they supposed to say? He put me down. I had a story. Here, listen. I had a story with my daughter. Listen. Listen, guys, I had a story with my daughter in high school, okay? It was 12th grade. She had very bad acne, okay? I'm talking to you straight, like we're all family. We are, right? We're all brothers, right? She had acne, and she put on some, I don't even know what it's called, some bass. It's called a bass, right? Not a music instrument. It's a bass on the face. Teacher sees her, it was the principal. In front of the whole class, she said, "You get out of the class. You cannot wear makeup." And then, outside, she told her, "I don't know who's going to marry you." Those were her words. You heard? My daughter was so destroyed that day that we, as positive parents, and tried to strengthen her. It looked like we strengthened her, but she went through a lot of struggle for a few years. And you know what? She didn't get married until she was 27. And at 26, she was this big asifa, you know, like an Irgun Shirei Torah for women. And there the principal was sitting all like nice. And my daughter says to my wife, "I think this is it. I'm going over." My wife says, "You know what? I'm coming with you." And they went over to her, and they told her, "You know what you did to me 7-8 years ago? You slaughtered me. And I'm trying to be meichel you, but it's very hard for me." Now, I'll be melamed zchus. You ready? If you would have seen the crying that this principal broke down, she didn't even realize herself what she did. Okay? She broke down and gave her brachas like you can't imagine. She actually got engaged that year afterwards. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes the wrong word, the wrong thing, it's a hakpada. When someone says something, what the word dibur, what's the sharishah? What's the word dibur? Dibur is davar. Dibur is davar. When you speak, you create. You create energy. You ever heard now the new thing, the new mishigas, the positive thinking courses, right? Anybody heard of that? Right? A lot of the women are doing the positive thinking courses. Because if you're positive, then everything comes out positive. If you're negative, everything comes out negative. A person's mind goes beyond comprehension. I guess it's part of the neshama. Haneshama shebemoichi, right? The neshama is over here.
You can heal by mind.
You can heal by mind, exactly. So it's not so pushy if you tell a kid the wrong thing. It's not so pushy if a girl grows her hair long and she's just sent home in the summer. They write her a letter, "You can't come back." And then they find out it's because of long hair. Guess what? The girl went ahead and cut her hair and brought her hair to the principal. She says, no, it's too late. You're not coming. They killed her. I found her the other day with heroin in her arm. And the father's the most erlich yid around. And he'll never say the words, "I'm not Michael," but he is suffering beyond. And he said, that's what turned the whole her whole life around. There is something going on. It's a problem. Reb Gamliel writes in his Sefer, quote unquote, he speaks here. You ready for the quote? I think it's in Tiva Shiduchim, right? He's got like 28 tivs. Okay? He writes, "Roiv Menahalim Legehenim." That's his quote. That's not Ronnie Cohen's quote. "Roiv Menahalim Legehenim." You can't trust either. The kid does something bad. The Rebbe says, "I'm not telling the principal." He goes, tells the principal. It's not normal. Now they started mentor. Torah Masorah actually started a whole thing. Mentorship. You heard about it?
When you call the school, you tell the principal or the rabbi, you tell him, "Please don't tell the kid I called you." So the next day, the rabbi says, "Look, stop doing that because I want your parents to call me." Okay? Then that's the end of it.
Yeah, but now they have a mentor program where they have a special, like a therapist, where you could share anything with him and he will not share it with the principal. Because a lot of kids are suffering internally. And they're just not revealing their pain. So, the most important thing is to be influential on our kids. How do we do it? So, I consider it the concept of osmosis. One mother says, "I can't stand it. My husband davens at home. He puts on his tefillin at home, this and that. So the father says, what do you mean? It's great. He sees me wearing tefillin. So I said to him, you know, you really should daven the minyan. So I was explaining to him that it's much deeper than just 10 people together. Shulchan Aruch, there's something going on behind the Shulchan Aruch. So when a yid goes ahead and puts on tefillin the minyan, the kedusha b'tahara, and there's some form of achdus in the minyan, he gets a keren or on him, which means he has ora makif. Ora makif is actually a magnet. A child has to be magnetized to his parents, to his father, to his mother. Every person here would love that his children should say, oh, my tati, my ab is a tzaddik. My mother is mamash a tzaddik. You should see my father. He cries. Mamash, he has a sefer tehillim. It's swollen with tears. My mother, forget it. I woke up one night in the middle of the night. I remember when I was 11, my father was on the floor. He had ashes on his forehead. He was by the mezuzah. He was crying on the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Kids like that don't go off to derech. Again, it's a general statement, but you know what? They might go off for a while, but they're coming back. Because there's nothing out there. It's about Kedusha. You want your kids to be holy? You got to be holy. That's really what it's about. There's no games. It's real. And the struggle, you could tell your kids, the struggle you have, I have the same struggle as you. There's no gaiva here anymore. I once went to I actually heard Rav Avram Shor speaking to a boy. It's a whole crazy story. And the boy says, I have crazy HRs. I'm like a Michigan, and I do the worst things in the world. He says, and you think I didn't do this also in my life? I did the same Mishigasan as you did too. Like that, he said. I was like, the kid almost fell on his back. And then I took a kid into the psych ward, unfortunately. He was running around like a chicken without a head. And it took us a long time to nab him. Gets on the ambulance. You know what he tells me? He says, Ronnie, I'm not a Michiganer. I saw so much garbage with my eyes in the last year that it's a miracle I didn't jump off the roof. He couldn't even live with himself anymore. It's an overload, and Shama can't deal with it. So if you're not going to become proactive, it's not about Rebbe telling you. I was in the mirror. Oh, I didn't tell you. This is a great story. The mirror invited me. 10th and 11th grade, I spoke to 120 boys. I said one condition, no Rebbeim. You like that? Started talking. I said, I heard the mirror has 3 rules. They said, yeah. I said, you can't have a driver's permit.
Yeah.
You can't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
And you can't go to King's Highway. Okay, how many guys have cell phones? Bunch of dummies. Nobody even reacted. How many guys have a driver's permit? Nobody reacted. How many guys go to King's Highway? I said, you're all a bunch of liars. He says, yes, we are. So what's going on here? So I told them, after 1 hour of sitting with you guys, I hopefully will convince you and make you understand on your own why you don't want a cell phone, why you don't want to go to King's Highway, and why you don't want to drive a permit. That's the only derech. It doesn't work any other way. You can't go around giving out black socks to kids. You can't. The kids have to express themselves. David HaMelech, as we know, wouldn't have been accepted to Brisk, to Satma, to Noah. He was such an individual. Go through a sefer. Anyone learns Tehillim? I highly recommend Tehillim Be'iyun. Learn it Be'iyun. Learn one capital a day Be'iyun. You'll be fascinated what he was going through. He was a kid at risk. He was tormented. He was emotional. He went up. He went down. There's a line. He says he wants every coyote. He wants to fly like a bird off a rooftop. Matter of Shiva gets up and says, I want to fly like a bird off a rooftop. They'll say he's a nutcase. He expressed himself. He was real. Hashem wants real. That's what it's about. It's about the real deal. So that only comes from introspection. You have to start thinking. Most of the boys that I see, even B'nai Torah, they're not individuals. They didn't define themselves. That's why sometimes you hear a boy, 22, suddenly he's not learning anymore. He gets married, he's finished, he's not a man. He's the biggest masman, 23, he's married to a BJJ girl, it's over. Nothing. 3 years later, he's like a regular bell bus. What's going on here? Because he was never really defined. He was monkey see, monkey do. One of my children learns in Lakewood. He's a very serious boy. But he has a thing. Sometimes he needs chizik. He'll leave in the middle of his man for a half a day, and he'll go to the Ribnitzer Rebbe's Kaver. He'll go to the Satmar Rebbe's Kaver. And in the traditional yeshiva world, it's not accepted. Come on. But you know what? That's the power of being real. because everybody needs something else. The same thing a guy who needs in the middle of his man a day off, he has to go skiing, you go skiing. Listen, we know Rabbi Kalish from Waterbury, right? Anybody know him?
He's phenomenal.
He's a phenomenal man. The man's a Ben Tyre. He has a seven blot a day. The man skis like an Olympic skier.
But he cares about the kids.
He cares about the kids. Reb Gamliel says if you want Ruchnius, you got to give them Gashmius. One father cried to me, said, I never bought him a good pair of sneakers. And I know it sounds stupid, but he suffered all the years in school. He wanted those Jordans. I didn't understand how you spend $95 on a pair of Jordans. But you know what? That's the society you're in. You got to buy it for him. But again, the basic principle is internalizing yourself as a Yid. And that's what your kids are going to pick up. That's what they see. When you look at them at night, you give them a kiss and put them into bed, they know if you're emzdik or not. It's not a game. So someone told me a great story. There was a kid in camp that was being bullied, and then they found out they took away his towel. Did anybody hear the story? They took away his towel, got some maisa, and the mother's so frantic. She calls up the counselor and the head counselor. She makes such a tumult. He doesn't have a towel. He can't dry himself. The head counselor said, okay, let's figure out. What type of towel was it? What did it say on it? It said Holiday Inn on it. So you're busy with the bullying over there. Meanwhile, you stole the towel from the Holiday Inn. You got to have consistency. There's got to be flow. Understand the message. It's gotta be real. Anyway, we should be zaycha.
A guy in Niagara Falls told me.
What?
A bad guy in Niagara Falls told me. So the guy was buying tickets with his son. He's, if you're over three, the ticket costs more money. You can pass for a 2-year-old.
Right.
He says, you took your tuition, the 5-6 years of tuition, you just threw it out the window.
Right. You're all two.
Yeah, exactly.
There's all the kids, you guys were all under six.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's problematic. It's problematic. Okay. That's
it. Yeshivas have to be a partnership.
Yeah, that I agree. A lot of them, by the way, a lot of them are today. Yeah, a lot of them are.
It's not about themselves.
Right.
They care about the
right.
kids. They realize it's a partnership.
Right.
They communicate with the parents.
Right.
And it works. If not, it's about themselves, about their own covenant.
100%.
Then it doesn't work.
100%. Right. And things are becoming more exposed today. Everything's more...
those guys should be thrown out. Every single one of them. I'm serious. Every single one of those should be thrown out.
Yeah, it's a problem because, like you said.
But your problem is you have the rich people coming in and say, if you don't throw this person out, we're taking 10 kids out. So what they do is, there goes the kids.
He has one problem, he's too real.
It's true.
It's true. Listen, I didn't see it with my own eyes, I never believe it.
All right. Go ahead to you guys.